The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Seth and Chris Show Ultimate Hour. Last hour was the penultimate hour. Ultimate hour of the ultimate show in the Valley. Welcome back, everybody. I am Chris Buskirk. Our guest this hour is Julie Kelly from American Greatness. My guest co-host is Robert Graham. And it is just a fine spring afternoon here. Say hello, Julie Kelly.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great, Julie. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
All right.
Julie, you have a cold, a spring cold?
I do.
That's not good.
And I never get sick. I'm never, ever sick.
And it doesn't keep you down. That's what I love.
Not at all.
Because this is your third radio hit today?
It's my third radio hit, and I'm working on my second article.
Just think what you could do at full strength.
Well,
liberals beware.
That's right. We're going to send you some emergency, so get ready.
Yeah, you could try to cut off my arms at this point. I'm not going to stop. I'm after you.
Nice.
You'll be typing away with your nose, just leaning forward, like one of those like one of those little toy birds.
I'll just give my daughter the stink eye. I don't know what I want to say. That's great. Type it out for me.
Julie, you had sent me a note about the people who are coming after Devin Nunes. Now, Devin Nunes, in my opinion, is an American hero. I do not say that lightly. I do not resort to hyperbole lightly. If it was not for his courage and his tenacity, we would not know about what is undoubtedly the biggest political corruption scandal in this country's history, which is the fact which I think has been proven so far by just what he's uncovered and has made public so far. Just what he's made public. There's more that has not yet been made public about the fact that the FBI and its Washington, D.C. office and the Department of Justice and other elements within even the State Department and the Obama White House, they tried to use the police power of the federal government to rig the 2016 election. When that didn't work, they tried to use that exact same power to undermine the president and to basically overturn that election. Devin Nunes has been doing fantastic work. We wouldn't know about these things if it wasn't for him. But there are powerful and loud voices arrayed against him. Tell us what's going on.
Well, the latest, I'm working on a piece now, and hopefully it will be up on American Greatness tomorrow. They're really stepping up their attacks on Chairman Nunes this week, because of course he is getting closer and closer to what I call the sinking core of, yes, the biggest political corruption scandal in American history. And he's getting closer to uncovering the FISA warrants and the sources that were used, and now potentially a mole that was inside the Trump campaign or associated with the Trump campaign that the FBI set up and used as a source to start this whole counterintelligence probe that eventually led to the FISA warrants and then now the Robert Mueller probe. So this is all tied together. As you said, and I'm not one for hyperbole that much either, I believe that Nunes is a hero and a patriot. He is the only person on Capitol Hill who has the guts to go out on the news every day and take on Republicans and Democrats and the media and very well-heeled, powerful interests who want to keep this scandal under wraps that includes Republicans. He's been utterly fearless, and now they're really going after him as he's getting closer and closer to uncovering the truth.
I will say, and I have no problem saying this in public, I've said this for a long time, but there was never any Russian collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government or people associated or affiliated with the Russian government. It was a complete hoax. It was a fantasy that was created as a pretext to get the FBI involved. It started in the summer of 2016. It was basically a campaign dirty trick. They wanted it to be an October surprise where it's like, they say, aha, there's an FBI investigation into Trump. He's working with the Russians, and it was supposed to swing votes. That's what this was. It was a campaign operation in which the FBI played a willing part. Right? They became an operative of the Clinton campaign and of the DNC. That is now coming out. That has come out, and people need to be outraged. If we don't want to see our politics degenerate to that of a third world banana republic, which is no republic at all, by the way, the people need to be held accountable. We need sunlight on all of this, which is what Devin Nunes is doing, and people need to be held accountable. The people who did wrong need to be punished.
I mean, I agree, and, you know, as I'm not sure if that's going to happen, and I hear people more and more, and you guys probably do too, just regular folks who are tied to this every single minute like we are. They want to know what is happening. I mean, they know that something really wrong occurred. And when are people going to be held accountable? When are people going to be charged with crimes? When are we going to see people, you know, hauled off to jail like they should be? We have, you know, innocent people who've been caught up in this. Look at a Carter Page whose life is basically ruined, and other people, you know, I wrote about that too. All the people who've been ensnared in this investigation has cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees. It's bankrupted their families. People have gotten death threats because of this. I mean, this has long-lasting implications, but it also has personal implications for people who have suffered with this complete hoax and using the most powerful interest in our government to, you know, as you said, sway an election and then destroy an incoming presidency. And now they're going to try to do the same thing for Devin Nunes. I really feel sorry for the guy. I know he's tough, but I'm telling you, they are going to use every weapon at their disposal to not just discredit him, but to destroy him.
How do you do this? So this is the really the million-dollar question in my mind is you've got these guys doing this. The president wants to retaliate. He wants to get people that are surrogates and are surrounding him want to retaliate and respond somehow. But how do you do it without looking like this is a self-interested personal gaming effort to take these guys out? Because the narrative is so easily, hey, they're only beating up on Mueller because the president's trying to protect himself. How do we do that? How do we get these people to be held accountable for their bad behavior?
Well, I think one thing, Robert, and we saw this, and there's a few pieces on American Greatness about this, is you're going to have the court step in now. I mean, you have federal judges who have posed some really harsh questions to the Mueller team and are demanding exculpatory evidence that they might have withheld in the Flynn prosecution and plea agreement. You had another federal judge very harshly rebuke the Mueller team, demanding more information from them in the Manafort case, suggesting that they way have exceeded their authority, demanding to see that August 2nd, 2017 memo that allegedly expanded Mueller's investigatory powers via the Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. You have now even in the Russian troll case, which they thought was going to be just a big publicity stunt and no one would ever show up and they would just get all this press for it. One of the companies actually retained U.S. legal representation and showed up in court this week, even though the Mueller team tried to delay it. So I think as far as discrediting the investigation and starting to expose what's going on behind it, the only people we really have a shot at this point would be the judiciary, and you're starting to see some progress in that regard.
I want to say this.
Right now it's hand-to-hand combat, I think, politically.
Politically, yeah, that's right. Well, not just, yeah, politically for sure, in the media too. You know, people keep saying, well, how are people going to be held accountable? And I just want to keep saying, if not us, who? Right? We're the ones on the front lines of that, right? Devin Nunes is, but we're working to expose the truth to sunlight here on this show at American Greatness. There are other people who are doing it. Somebody like Lee Smith, who's a great reporter, who's been writing for Real Clear Politics and for Tablet, where he's been doing original reporting on this stuff. it comes down, you know, we're saying, well, who's going to do it? Yeah, we're going to do it. And if we keep up the drumbeat and people understand what's been going on, then a wave will build, momentum will build so that legal action is taken.
Yes, I hope so. I mean, I think you're right. That's why we have to keep going. Even when you have a bad cold or it's Friday night and you should be out and you're stuck to your computer, those are the sacrifices that real people
You wouldn't go out with a bad cold, would you?
Oh, heck yeah.
You notice we've got the Julie Kelly bumper music going, right?
Oh, you guys are the best.
Yeah, we know what you like, and we're good hosts here. We give our guests what they like. I'm Chris Buskirk. Robert Graham is my guest host this Friday, and Julie Kelly, of course, it's Friday. We get Julie Kelly. She's our guest. We'll be talking with her on the other side of this break. We'll be right back with more of The Seth and Chris Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham, and you are listening to The Seth and Chris Show, and I am in as a fill-in for Seth the Almighty, and we've got Julie Kelly. She's been on. She is a writer with America Greatness and has really been filling all the holes as it relates to the truth and making sure that we know what we should be talking about as it relates to the defense of truth, really, when it comes down to the integrity of what's happened to the presidency and all these arguments and investigations that are supposedly trying to find their way to enlighten all of us. And we're now finding that they're doing anything but enlightening us. They're actually hurting us. Hey, one of the things going into the break you had talked about is putting up our dukes and really fighting hard and pushing back. And I can't help to talk about the world's best known attorney at this particular point. Avenatti. My gosh, my brain. Yeah, Avenatti. The attorney comes out. He does his thing. He's been like probably the most viewed lawyer ever on CNN and such. And now
twice a day on average for the past 2 months.
It's just mind blowing when you think about that. And then you see what's happening now with this information that's coming out. Where I don't know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and just suggest that there's a lot of Michael Cohens out there, but where he's written, made statements, and he's been accusatory toward Michael Cohen for certain behavior, and they find out now it's not even the right Michael Cohen, it's another Michael Cohen. And really hurtful statements, if you ask me. But when we think about fighting, I mean, here's a question, you may not know the answer to it, but when I was taught in the corporate world, if somebody starts to smash on you with mistruths, you fight immediately back. And so I just am puzzled why we haven't seen, or maybe I missed it, where Michael Cohen's come back and said, look, I'm going to knock this guy's teeth out because he's saying what he's saying and he has really no back. He doesn't have any data to really support his claims. And not only that, but now people are starting to recognize that he's using the wrong Michael Cohen to make these statements. So I'm looking for a suit. I'm looking for a fight back. When do we do that?
Make the fight to the enemy, right?
That's it. And we just seem not to do it. A lot of times we say, oh, we're above the fray. George W. Bush used to do that all the time, where he never just roll up his sleeves and slug somebody, even when he was in the right position to do that. So what's happening?
Robert, I think you raise a really interesting, tactical question, and that is, how do you focus? Oh, excuse me, guys, hold on.
No problem.
See, the intrepid Julie Kelly comes on even with a cold, but we do have to give her a little break if she's got a. I wonder what I picture. We're probably
up
on mute
she's
right
coughing,
now, coughing
or throwing up. We don't know.
We hope that she comes back. Soon. In the meantime, though, I mean, the point that you make, Robert, I think is absolutely spot on, which is, you know, the best defense is what? It's a good offense. That is a time-tested truth. There's a reason that there's a nice pithy expression for it, because it's true. Fight back. Right?
If you fight back, fight hard,
tell the truth, take the offense, and take the fight to the people who are trying to undermine you or who are trying to destroy you, your reputation, your family,
right,
your finances, everything.
When Fred Duvall was running for governor here in the state, we took the fight at him first. We wanted to strike first and put them on the defense. We wanted to control the narrative. When you're on the offense, you do that. This is the greatest opportunity to turn it with what's happening with Mueller, these federal judges, and then Avenatti's disposition on his lack of ability to really vet and find the truth. Man, let's fight, because right now the American people are wondering even more, is this really true? No, it's not. And here's why. And look at what we're willing to do to make sure that you get the truth. So I want, and then they get impassioned about it because they want to be a part of the best outcome, which will be the truth. So who knows?
Well, the question still is what? I don't even know. And I've followed all this. What is exactly is Stormy Daniels' relevance to all of this? That she may have had relations with Donald Trump 10 or 12 years ago? Okay, so what?
Well, I think people,
from an electoral perspective, maybe it's somewhat relevant. People say, well, we'll make a judgment based on the candidate, meaning the president, based on that. I think people kind of got that might have been out there with Donald Trump. I don't think anybody said they were surprised. Why are we talking about her?
I don't. And the other question is, why would she be credible anything? I mean,
that's the other part. What's her lawyer?
What was her job? I mean, look, I mean, you said it in the break, you know, Seinfeld. It's a public fornicator, right? I mean, this lady has had a horrible profession that is despicable in my mind, and probably everybody is listening to this. And here she is somehow some relevant discussion with the president of the United States. Yes, there's a history there that all of us are still trying to work our head around, but it's separate and it's distinctly separate from all this other nonsense. But somehow they're dovetailing her into this Russian probe, the Mueller investigation. It's just more fodder for the candidate, and it's sad to say the least. But my gosh, I just scratch my head and say, how in the world does she have this voice to the people, and how is she inspiring anything, you know, given her background and her current profession?
I'd like to know more about her lawyer. I've asked this question in public a number of occasions. It doesn't seem to have occurred to many people. Certainly nobody has the answer. Michael Avenatti, her ambulance-chasing lawyer, who, by the way, is under threat of disbarment. That's just starting to come out now. I mean, this is somebody not just with a very checkered past. He's got a very checkered present, even if you don't count Stormy Daniels in that equation. If you don't count Stormy Daniels, he still has a very checkered present. And my question is this. Who's paying him? Who is paying Michael Avenatti? It's not Stormy Daniels. I would wager money on that. It's not Stormy. So who's paying all of his fees? Because he's taking up basically all of his days, every single day, doing nothing but this. You figure what a lawyer bills for 40, 50, 60 hours a week for a couple of months? The man is on CNN on average twice a day, every single day, since the beginning of March.
That's it.
There's a link on Drudge right now. I don't know if you saw it, Robert. It says they estimate that CNN has given Michael Avenatti $175 million in free airtime.
Unbelievable. What is he doing with it, though? See, that's the thing I think is a great question, is what is the end game? You look at this earned media, if you want to call it that, and you say, okay, what is he doing with it? Is he building his law practice? Is he trying to take a position to where he'll be a CNN contributor? Maybe. Who knows what happened? Stormy Daniels, it's very, very evident given her strip tour that she has, and I hate even saying it, you know, Make America You Know What Again.
Yeah.
And then you have this, and then the activity back in the porn industry and such. So you can see how she's monetizing this whole experience. But with him, it's hard to put
Stormy Daniels was basically a washed up hooker who has found a way to try and make a few more dollars at the tail end of a pretty nasty career. And that's what she's doing. I mean, consider the source, right? If somebody is a lawyer, somebody is a prosecutor, somebody just has common sense, you consider the source of accusations and what motivations people might have for making them. So Stormy Daniels does just about anything for money. We know this. Is that maybe not what's going on here too? And of course, Michael Avenatti is starting to make Stormy Daniels look like the principled one.
I know. And that is just mind-blowing. And you could chalk this up to entertainment value or whatever, but people are listening into this. And when you start to see people that would basically be very principled in their decisions of who they believe and not believe, I mean, all the time you look for credibility. It happens with my kids. My kids do something at school, and the teacher criticizes them, and I come back, and I'm like, but you're the teacher here. You shouldn't behave this way. This is, I mean, it's just an expectation. With Stormy Daniels, I can't say that. I'm like, well, you're a porn star, and I expect you to behave that way. That's terrible, and that's offensive. But yeah, I'm in absolute, utter confusion on what's happening right now with the public and the way they're consuming the Stormy Daniels story. And then again, with Avenatti, what is he really up to, and what's his end game?
Leave it right there. We'll come back on the other side. Hopefully, Julie Kelly will be okay. She Maybe got a glass of water. I don't know.
I'm
oh, she's back. But we're going to a break. Be right back. A little Kid Rock there, bringing us back to the Seth and Chris Show. Could have been he could have been Senator Rock from the great state of Michigan. If only. Flirted with running for Senate against Debbie Stabenow, but decided that the life of a rock star was preferable to the life of a United States senator. Hard to argue with that. Not that I have lived the life of a rock star, but from the outside, it looks like it might be better than it might actually be a more morally uplifting life.
Yeah,
the life of a U.S. senator.
You know, it's interesting. I have so the Republican National Convention, the last one that we had, I had the opportunity to sponsor an event that Kid Rock was our band, and I was able to introduce him, and then I was able to close his show.
Oh, really?
And I almost did a mic drop at the end. It was so tempting, but he was there at the Republican National Convention. It was great, and I actually have my name on the poster with Kid Rock, so it's kind of neat. And
your name was in lights.
It was in lights.
Opening act for Kid Rock.
And I got to get crazy a little bit. My daughter thought I should have done the mic drop as well, but I didn't go for it. But it was a pretty cool event.
Bucket list item.
It is, and it's there. But now I got to do it again, but drop the mic. So,
all right, everybody, we had some calls at the end of the last hour, and even at the beginning of this hour, that we could not take because we had Julie Kelly booked. She was on the line, and so I know some of you hung up. I want to get you back on the line. 602-508-0960. Julie Kelly, she's sick. She tried her best, but she lost her voice, and we had to let her go early. So I'd love to take your calls. We spent a lot of the last hour talking through the Arizona election, the importance it has for the whole country as part of the midterms, but also the importance it has just for Arizona. There is a target on Arizona. Left-wing billionaires believe that they can turn Arizona thoroughly, deeply blue this cycle in 5.5 months.
You know,
what do we do about that? Well, we were talking about that. Call us and we can talk through this. 602-508-0960. Can the left turn Arizona blue in 2018? 602-508-0960.
You know, Chris, it's one of the interesting historical dynamics here in the state is leading into the 2014 then 2016 elections. Is in Arizona, it was legal, and some of you know this, that was legal for what they called ballot harvesting. You may have or may not have had somebody knock on your door and request your mail-in ballot, that they would deliver it for you. So we have some people in the state that have been put on a mail-in list, and they maybe let's just call them less sophisticated, less participation levels of voting. And these lists were created by these guys that were in the progressive left, just wild and crazy, effective progressive lefts like a guy named Randy Perez and such would organize people. They go knock doors. It was legal to knock on doors and request ballots. And people would say, hey, you know what? You're here to pick up my ballot. I don't have it completed. Well,
no problem.
Yeah, go complete it. And by the way, I've got a sample ballot in my back pocket. Some people would say, who are you? Because a lot of the people showing up the door were not credentialed. And literally, they would turn a handheld device and show it to them, look like an official website and say, is this you? Yes, that's me. Well, I'm here to pick up your ballot. Well, I haven't finished. Here's a sample ballot. So they, in many cases, they would intimidate.
Oh, what a nice young man. He's here to help me out.
That's it. So some people would actually intimidate the voters to collect these. Now, the question was, there was always a risk if you allow people to do this. Let's say they lose a ballot. Well, what happens to your civil liberties? You don't get to participate, right? Or let's say they held it up to the light because you used to be able to do that and you could see how somebody was voted. They're not voting the way your organization wants them to vote and you trash the thing. There has never been any conviction of that, but there's been lots of suspicion, even to the point where, like this last cycle, they found hundreds of ballots in a field in Yuma, and they're still investigating some of this stuff. But long story short,
the chance that was not just a big voter fraud operation is zero.
That's exactly right. But nobody's convicted, so they argue this way. So what had happened in 2016, I worked with some legislatures. Michelle Ugenti-Reed put together a bill that banned this type of ballot harvesting. And what was really interesting is the Dems were caught flat-footed because they needed this in Apache and Navajo where they would collect as many as 100,000 ballots. Okay,
is that right?
Oh, yeah. It was absurd. Wow. People wondered why we always lost Navajo and Apache. It was because of the ballot harvesting. And so In there, you look at some of the people that are against this law, the opponents would come out and say it disproportionately harms minorities. Well, guess what? Every single person that testified in these hearings leading up to this vote, they were minorities from the Asian community, black communities, from the Hispanic communities, from the tribal communities. And it's pretty wild that they still suggest this. But guess what? The U.S. District Court upheld the law once again. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court last time. And the Supreme Court said, leave it alone because you're in an election cycle. And then, but we'll get back to this. Now it's gone back to the U.S. District Court and they've upheld the law. So we'll see. They're going to work this. But this is one way to create absolute efficiency for these big dollar guys. If they can pull this law, we're in big, big trouble.
When we come back, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. You want to talk about Red for Ed? You want to talk about the Senate race? You want to talk about how we keep Arizona red? Let me know. 602-508-0960. Be right back. This is the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Chris Buskirk. Robert Graham is co-hosting with me today. Welcome back, everybody. Taking your call, 602-508-0960. Tony in Scottsdale wants to talk about Red for Ed, understand the political dimensions of that. Tony, how are you? Welcome.
I'm good. How you doing, guys?
Excellent. How are you?
Really good, really good. Hey, so I'm a little bit late to the conversation today. I'm late getting out of work. But so going back to turning our state blue and the Red for Ed movement, I kind of wanted to get your take on it. I'm in the construction business. You guys have talked to me before.
Yep, I remember you, Tony.
I was a guy who was all for the teachers getting additional funding. I've got lots of friends that are teachers. I was very unhappy with how the whole thing rolled out. I'm in the construction business, so maybe I'm in my own little bubble. We tend to be much more on the conservative side. I don't think that the state is turning blue. I really felt like this was a contrived national movement, the whole Red for Ed thing. I have lots of other parents that I talk with that were not happy about the way the whole Red for Ed movement rolled out. But I could be wrong about it. I think we're going to stay not necessarily a red state, but at least definitely leaning conservative. But I kind of wanted to get a better feel from you guys what you thought.
You know, it's interesting. I agree with you that the Red for Ed is not going to be the catalyst that turns our state blue. No way. And I think what happens is what normally happens is when you had the teachers threatening walkouts and they were lobbying for their pay increase and they hadn't done these walkouts yet, you can keep the community with your message because people understand the value of great teachers and compensating them appropriately. As soon as they strike, and what they did, and this was longer than anybody had anticipated, and it starts to impact people individually. Like, for instance, there's 500,000 kids in our schools that need food, and they get food from coming to public school in the morning and in the evening. There was a million meals a day that weren't being served to children, okay, as a result of this. And then you have all the child care and all this. And so what happened is even if the supporters were Red for Ed, they started to turn very quickly on the movement. So that movement is still significant, but it's not the only thing that's going to turn it. What happens is this get out the vote stuff. You mentioned that you weren't with us earlier. We talked about getting out the vote and the dollars that are going to be coming in the top of the ticket. And what happens is if you don't match those dollars, conservative state or not, if you don't match strategically or have a better game plan to deploy resources to get people out to vote, that's when you start losing elections. And when you lose elections, and let's say the Senate seat, let's say we lose a Senate seat and we lose Congressional District 2, which is Martha McSally's current seat, then they get to say, look, we just swung the congressional delegation to Democrat. And now we picked up a seat in the Senate. And if we did that, they're likely going to pick up a few seats in the Senate in our state. Hey, look, we can do this. So what it does is it creates an unusual momentum of outside money coming into Arizona to go to 2020, right? To turn it the next cycle. We've been able to block all of those types of success stories because we've had remarkable outcomes to date. And right now, it just feels like everybody's a bit flat-footed.
All right. Hey, so I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
if I may. So that being the case, so basically what you're saying is we as conservatives need to stay motivated and make sure that we do our best to get out the vote. How do we get our base motivated to make sure that we're out there supporting our people?
You have to be able to articulate the risks. The risks are the values and principles we care deeply about. We like conservatives in office because we believe that they have the best governing principles. If you lose that, what happens to family? What happens to education? What happens to business? I mean, do we turn into California where you have this huge out-migration? People have to be terrified of what can happen. And right now, people don't feel it. They don't feel the pain. So it's hard to motivate them. So it's guys like you that knocks doors, organizes people, brings other business leaders together within construction and outside of construction and says, look, we have to unify resources and people to assure we win. And getting out the vote and introducing ourselves to our neighbors is the very first step that you have to do.
Right. Okay. I hear what you're saying. And I've been a precinct committeeman in the past, but it's unfortunately I've been busy with work and family here, but I hear what you're saying.
But that's what you just said is, hey, I'm a productive member. I understand the value of the precinct committeeman, but here's the oddity. These darn progressives, they do have, I would say not all of them, but a lot of them are productive contributors too. And then when they walk out of their work, they roll up their sleeves and they go right into activism. And it's challenged because I just can't, I want a break, right, of working so hard and being a contributor, but you can't do it in election cycles. And so this is where we need everybody to hunker out. And this is no, I'm not slinging anything at anybody. I'm just saying we have to burn the ships, right? We have to go, we have to beach, go to battle, burn the ships so there's no return. And then we can rebuild them after we win again. But that's what has to happen at this stage of this election cycle.
All right. Hey, sounds good, guys. Thanks for the info.
You got it.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate the call. Give us a call, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960 is the number. Robert, here is, let me ask you this. I was going to go one direction. I'm going to go a different one. Is it too late in the cycle? I don't have the sense that it is. You know, we're in May. There's time, right? A lot of people don't start to focus till a little later in the cycle. People who are really into politics, of course, are in it now. But there's still time. Get involved. Become, to Tony, you just called, become a precinct committeeman again. Like, just make the commitment to do it. If we win this battle, this makes 2020 easier in Arizona, makes 2022 easier in Arizona, because the Democrats are coming loaded for bear.
So become a precinct committeeman, call the AZGOP, azgop.org is the website. Go there, find out how to do it. But if you can't find the time to do that, go to a candidate's website, search it, look. I mean, you find it. Be a volunteer somewhere and get behind somebody that you care about as it relates to the conservative principles, because the time may not be too late, but the time is now. Reince Priebus was not my absolute favorite chairman of the RNC. He did a fantastic job kind of modernizing the Republican National Committee. But as far as the overall effectiveness and such, there was a lot to be desired. But one thing he did that I think is probably the most powerful thing he put and planted in the seed in all the RNC leaders at that time was Victory 365. So what he wanted is everybody to think about victory 365 days a year, every year. So engage now, engage tomorrow, engage every day. The progressives do that. They start their brush fires all throughout the cycle. So through 2-year election cycle, they're working every day of the year, and that's where we have to be. But culturally, it's hard to regroup and to get there, and that's kind of what happened. And so right now, it's engaging and fighting in a meaningful way, and that's where we need people. So 365, start now, not tomorrow. You need to start now. The time is now.
We're going to go to a break, come back with our final short segment. I'm Chris Buskirk. My guest co-host today is Robert Graham. We'll be right back after this with more of the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Chris Buskirk. My guest host today, co-host, is Robert Graham. Last segment, I want to get a quick call in here from Trent. Trent, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for your time. Hey, just a quick comment here. Enjoy the show. I think we need a structure in the church or in the schools here that allow business owners, salespeople, people who are in the capitalistic idea and mindset to actually come in and donate time and teach these kids and give them a different perspective on what's possible with their life.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we have like Junior Achievement and some other things where they're trying to do this at an interesting scale. What happens is this whole notion of this entrepreneurial dream that you're talking about, you call it the entrepreneurial imperative, what have you, is people have to recognize the value of innovation and creativity, this value of accomplishment. And I think you're right. We have to have influences, but more than in the schools, it's got to start in the home. And when people understand the value of accomplishment, they work towards something. What's the incentive to be great? What happens on the playing fields today? If you're a soccer player and you're in a kids league, they give everybody a medal. If you go to any other championship, everybody gets a medal. You just win the championship, but you're going to wear the same medal everybody else did as a participant. And so there's this been this conditioning of society that we can hold hands and have this utopian euphoria. It's not going to happen. And so that's why we love individual competition, is because it puts people against people and there's a winner and a loser. But they need to understand that it feels good to win. It doesn't have to feel good if we lose. It should feel bad because you want to do better the next time.
So it's very motivating.
It is. And there's a perfecting of the mission of success that needs to happen, has to happen in the home. And we have all these great people that are driven. We just need more of those people to understand the mission and the message. And I believe it'll convert these kids away from unions and this kind of socialistic dynamic that's happening where everybody should win. Those that work should win, and those that have the best outcome should literally have the best outcome. Help if they want to help. It's a free market, free world. Let's make it happen here in the United States.
Well said. I'm Chris Buskirk. That's Robert Graham. That's it for today. We'll see you Monday at 3.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.